This morning's reading can be found on page 1042 of your pew Bibles and is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Page 1042. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you that you give us your word. Thank you for all that we can learn from it. And Lord, this morning we want to hear from you. Pray you'd speak into each one of our lives today. Amen. So, I was going to begin my sermon this morning with this. I was going to say to you, I was talking to a friend earlier this week about this passage about Martha and Mary, and she told me, "Oh, I love that passage. It tells me I don't have to do the housework." But seeing as Marcia already said it, then you'll have guessed which friend that actually was who'd said it. I don't think that this is the main thing, or even a thing, that we're supposed to be learning from this passage. But it may well be a helpful excuse at certain moments. So let's have a look at the passage and see what we do learn from this meal with Jesus today. First, a little bit of background. Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, the same Lazarus who Jesus is going to go on to raise from the dead, they were close friends of Jesus. And we know that they lived in Bethany, just over the Mount of Olives, only about 4 miles from Jerusalem. You can see this on the map. Bethany is now in the Palestinian West Bank, and its name in Arabic now means the town of Lazarus. This was not a planned visit. But as Jesus and his disciples, probably quite a large group of people, were passing through Bethany, then the passage tells us that Martha opened her home to him. Most of us would probably think twice before inviting a big group of people in unexpectedly, but Martha was obviously very generous and very hospitable. There's some things that Scripture doesn't explain to us. For example, why Martha is the head of the household, making her the one who invites Jesus around to the home. It was unusual in those days for a woman to be the head of the household. Some scholars have suggested that maybe Martha had been married and now she's widowed. The passage also doesn't tell us what the preparations are that Martha's so busy with and which are giving her so much grief. We presume she was probably busy organizing food for all of the guests, preparing a meal. What we do know is that Martha is very, very busy. And while she's doing all of the preparations, her sister Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. And this is driving Martha crazy. We can probably all relate to this. I certainly can. Why do I have to do all the work? Look at them sitting around doing nothing. It used to drive me crazy when it was school holidays. So my children were all at home all day and I was out at work. And I'd come home from work and there it would be dishes all over the kitchen, mess all over the place. And they would be sitting there playing on their computer games, watching television. I did a lot of grumbling and complaining about that, I have to say. And on the worst days, probably just general shouting. But my children are, I hasten to add, very helpful now that they're grown up. Martha is distracted and worried and upset. And what is Mary doing? She's completely unaware that Martha is so frazzled. Why? Because she's sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. Have you noticed that Mary doesn't say a single word in this story? She's doing one thing and one thing only. Her sole focus is on Jesus. She's listening to Jesus teach, seated at his feet like the other disciples. And we need to pay attention to this because in first century Palestine, it just wasn't done. In that culture, it was not appropriate for a woman to assume the place of a religious disciple. That was a privilege reserved for men. How was a woman, how was Mary allowed to sit and learn with the men? When we hear about somebody sitting at someone's feet, it might make us think of someone gazing adoringly at the other person and showing complete submission. But in this context, to sit at someone's feet simply meant to be their student. To sit at the feet of a rabbi or a teacher was to choose to be a disciple, to want to learn, to want to become like your teacher. Mary wanted to be with Jesus, and she wanted to learn as much as she possibly could. And what did Jesus do? He affirmed Mary's right to be in that place. As we've already seen in this series, when Jesus was invited round for a meal, he often left people shocked, outraged, confused, amazed, as well as welcomed, healed, restored, well-fed, and set free. And what about us? What can we learn from this passage for our everyday lives? We're going to look at three different things. We're going to look at the living room and the kitchen. We're going to look at, Lord, don't you care? And we're going to look at the one thing. So first, the living room and the kitchen. We see in this passage the struggle we face every day when work and worship collide. Part of me is Mary. I want to worship extravagantly. I want to spend time with Jesus and sit at his feet and listen to him. But part of me is Martha. There's just so much to be done. So many important needs around me, so much work that needs to be done. So I hear God's call to come away and spend time with him. And I respond, yes, Lord, I will come. But then the phone rings, the children shout. I'm reminded of that bill that I need to pay. Suddenly, all my good intentions about worship disappear, swallowed up by the tyranny of the urgent. We live in a constant tension between the urgent and the important. The urgent tasks call for instant action, endless demands pressure us every day. But those urgent things can push out the really important things in our lives. We can end up missing out on prayer times, Bible study, or times just spent in God's presence, being with him and worshiping. Martha, in our passage, was so eager to serve Jesus that she almost missed out on being able to spend time with Jesus. I wonder if we get caught in the same performance trap, feeling as though we must prove our love for God by doing great things for him. When that happens, we rush past the intimacy of the living room in order to get busy in the kitchen, implementing ministries, projects, all in an effort to serve Jesus and spread the good news. But the kingdom of God doesn't work in the same way as the world around us. While the world applauds achievement and accomplishment, God desires friendship. The world demands do more, be all that you can be. But the Father whispers, be still and know that I am God. He isn't looking as much for workers as he's looking for sons and daughters, a people to pour his life into. We see this in Genesis, where God walks with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. Does that mean that we shouldn't be serving and working and doing? No, it doesn't. Because we are God's children, we'll often find that serving will be the natural result of spending time with Jesus. Like Jesus, we must be about our Father's business. The closer we draw to the heart of the Father, the more we see his heart for the world. And so we serve, we minister, and we love, knowing that Jesus, when we've done the serving and the loving for the least of these, the Bible says, then it's like we're doing it for Jesus. But when we put work before worship, we put the cart before the horse. Joanna Weaver puts it this way: the cart is important, so is the horse, but the horse must come first, or we end up pulling the cart ourselves. Frustrated and weary, we can nearly break under the pressure of service, for there's always something more that needs to be done. When we first spend time in God's presence, when we take time to hear his voice, God provides the horsepower that we need to pull the heavy load. Some of us might be feeling weary or burnt out by the worries, anxieties, and distractions of the should-haves, would-haves, could-haves, or the shoulda, woulda, couldas, as a psychologist friend of mine calls them. I should have done that, I would have done that, I could have done that. Remember then that there is a grace-filled message of good news in the story of Mary and Martha. This message of salvation isn't about what I do, it's about what Jesus did for me. Secondly, we're going to look at, Lord, don't you care? Martha asked Jesus, Lord, don't you care? I love it that Martha could speak to Jesus like this. Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Can you imagine telling Jesus how to do his job? Like Martha, we have our questions and we have our doubts. And like Martha, we can be honest and real about them. I'm so glad that God isn't threatened by our doubts or by our questions, our fears, or even our frustrations. He wants us to trust his love enough to tell him what we're thinking and feeling. Instead of allowing her questions to fester, Martha brought them to Jesus. Lord, don't you care? Jesus didn't laugh off Martha's concerns. He didn't become angry. Instead, he spoke to her with gentleness and tenderness, recognizing the pain behind her words. And Martha, to her credit, listened. Jesus saw Martha's situation. He understood her complaints, but he loved her too much to give her what she thought she wanted. Maybe part of us thinks that actually what Jesus should have done is got together a work party. Okay, disciples, okay, Mary, let's get into the kitchen. Let's all give Martha a hand here and get this sorted. We'll get it done quickly. But Jesus didn't give Martha what she wanted. Instead, he gave her what she needed. He gave her an invitation to draw close to him, to leave the expectations of others, or maybe just the perfectionist expectations that she was putting on herself, and to find refuge in him alone. Lord, don't you care? Yes, he cares. That's why he came. He left the glory of heaven to become Emmanuel, God with us. He knows the journey is difficult. He knows that life is rarely fair. He came. He experienced the brokenness of our world. He experienced the suffering of death on a cross because of his love for us. Yes, he cares. God longs to reveal his love to me and to you. Jesus invites us to cast our doubts, our fears, and our anxieties on him, to discover how much he really does care. And we can be reminded of that as we sit at his feet. And the third thing we'll look at is the one thing. In reply to Martha's question, Jesus gave her the answer, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Only one thing was needed. What was that thing? Martha loved Jesus. She had invited him into her home. She called him Lord. From her conversations with him later at Lazarus's grave, she understood that he was the Messiah. She was expressing her devotion by working hard and serving Jesus. But the one thing was not cooking or cleaning or doing good works, but knowing God, listening to him, leaving the kitchen for long enough to experience the fellowship of the living room. Charles Spurgeon says, "Martha's fault was not that she served. The condition of a servant well becomes every Christian. Her fault was that she became cumbered with so much serving so that she forgot Jesus and only remembered the serving." The one thing is not found in doing more. It's found by sitting at Jesus' feet. In this story, it isn't recorded that Mary said a single word. She sat in Jesus' presence and she listened. She didn't come up with clever responses or a doctrinal thesis. Her gift was availability. Do we show up with a heart that's open and ready to receive? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and you will learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus invited Martha into his presence. I wonder how she responded. The passage doesn't tell us. Did she sputter some excuses and go back to the kitchen? "Oh, I really need to finish this dinner." Did she feel like, as a woman, she couldn't go in and sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did? What would people think? Or did she go and just enjoy the time with Jesus, being strengthened and encouraged, ready to go and do the work later? Jesus' words to Martha are words to us as well. He's inviting us to take time to sit at his feet, to worship him, and to get to know him better. When we put the first thing first, then he delights to reveal his will and the part he wants us to play in it. Sometimes in our very driven society, we can feel like taking time in our days to just enjoy being in Jesus' presence and listening to him is a waste of time. We can feel like we should be doing, serving, achieving. But for God, our worth is not because of what we do, but because of who we are, made by God and precious to him. It's through taking time in his presence and listening to him that we can begin to know his heart for others around us and know where and how he wants us to serve in his strength, not our own. So, in summary, what have we learned from Martha and Mary? Let's not bypass the living room, the place to just spend time with Jesus, because we're too busy heading straight to the kitchen to serve him, or because we don't feel worthy of being in the living room. Secondly, we can bring our worries and concerns to Jesus because he does care more than we could think or imagine. And thirdly, let's, like Mary, choose the one thing, being in the presence of Jesus, whatever we're doing. Or, if you can't remember all those things, you can remember what the All-Stars are learning this morning. They're making a bookmark with some ears on, and their lesson is, listen to Jesus. Amen.